We want to know what you like and what would make Wisconsin Public Radio an even more awesome service for you during this April edition of Mondays with Mike. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's the first Monday of the month, which means it's time for WPR Director Mike Crane to join us for another edition of Mondays with Mike. We welcome your questions, your feedback about WPR operations and programming and special events and fundraising, and whatever public radio issue is on your mind today. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or the Wisconsin Public Radio Facebook page, or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Mike Crane is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and welcome back to Mondays with Mike. Mike?
It's good to be here, as always.
Yeah, because of vacation schedule conflicts, last month we had our director of programming and content, Mike Arnold, on with us last month for Mondays with Mike, so it's always convenient.
That his name is Mike.
Yeah, That's right. We don't have to change the name of the show. So you were busy watching lots of films at the Wisconsin Film Festival this weekend.
Not as many as some, but yeah, we have an annual feast of film here in Madison that my wife and I just love, and it's a very different experience from the usual, because you end up in these crowds. The last movie we saw was yesterday at Madison's Capitol Theater with maybe 900 other people, something like that. So we were in this huge line, and we ended up with actually a good spot in the balcony to see the film. But it was just so exciting to be with so many people excited about the movies like we are.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And Wisconsin Public Radio had a presence and a role in the Wisconsin Film Festival this year.
That's right. We were media sponsors, and are the hosts of Central Time, Rob and Veronica, were presenters at the Wisconsin's own ceremonies. There's some stuff I've seen on Facebook about it, so it was really nice to see them there and to see the work of filmmakers from Wisconsin honored as well.
Yeah, they announced some winners of the film contest. There's also some presence, I should say, to the best of our knowledge, has a contest coming up. What is this flash fiction contest?
Well, it's about science fiction in this case, and it actually relates to an event that the producer of To the Best of Our Knowledge, Steve Paulson, is involved in. And so what they're doing is, first of all, the event is 7:30 on this Wednesday at the Wisconsin Institutes for Discovery. That really neat building in the corner of campus there. And they're going to have renowned science fiction author Kim Stanley Robinson and a number of other panelists, the WID director David Krakauer, literary scholar Monique Elwert, and also WID distinguished scholar Steve Paulson. Now, I mentioned Steve, but he's considered a distinguished scholar there. And they're going to explore how humanists and scientists and writers bring distinct but overlapping approaches to universal questions about global interests and climate change. And we also have been having this 3-minute futures flash fiction contest that will be having the winners announced there. And what the winners get is a dramatization on a national broadcast of To the Best of Our Knowledge. So really neat to have that happen, and we look forward to that event.
And speaking of competition, also coming up, Wisconsin Public Radio will rebroadcast the Final Forte competition.
That's right. This is just a wonderful partnership between the Madison Symphony, Wisconsin Public Television, and Wisconsin Public Radio. And the way it works is that the Bowles Young Artist Competition that's held by the MSO results in this final live broadcast, and we'll also have a repeat broadcast of that. That's on Sunday, May 18th at 12:30 p.m. And Norman Gilliland is going to feature all of the winners, all four of them, and that'll be on the News and Classical Network of WPR, which can be heard online, or in many cities it can be heard on another WPR channel.
Some example of some special events in programming on Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll talk about more and, again, welcome your questions. 1-800-642-1234 or your feedback, talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Mike Crane, Wisconsin Public Radio's director, on this first Monday of the month, the day we set aside for Mondays with Mike. We have a pledge drive coming up, Mike. what, again? No, I'm just kidding.
No, that's a natural feeling. I get that. But I think that even many of our listeners share the feeling I do about pledge drives, which is actually, you know, because of the sad news about Mickey Rooney passing away this weekend, it makes me think of something that is a classic Mickey Rooney line. My dad's got a barn, you know, and they put on a show. What I think of the pledge drives as is a kind of barn raising, realizing I'm mixing stories there. But people feel good about helping Wisconsin Public Radio. And so the pledge drives are a part of that. And, you know, some people feel like they'd like them to go away. I don't think I'd ever like them to go away because they are a part of the spirit of public radio. But I also think they should be rare and short and all the rest. The big change this year is that we are not going to be doing a one-day Wednesday. That's what we've done the last few Mays. But as we've been looking, and we look carefully at how everything happens, and one of the challenges with a one-day Wednesday is that it tends to draw a lot more of our regular supporters, which is terrific, but it doesn't draw a lot of new members. And the thinking is that people who are thinking about becoming a member might need a little more exposure to the message before they actually make the decision to make that very first pledge. So we're going to have a 5-day pledge drive this May, and so that'll be a little different. But the total number of days for the whole year are actually still very much the same. So we made the fall drive and the winter drive a little bit shorter to try to make sure that we're not doing more overall. And so we'll see about that. I think that that's going to be a good thing.
So this is this starts late April, though, yes?
I'm sorry, yes. You know, because my focus was the one-day Wednesday, I was thinking May. But yes, late April, early May. That's right.
And we are really, we've been asking people to become sustaining members of Wisconsin Public Radio, meaning regular monthly installments or contributions. And that's really working, isn't it?
It is. About a third of our members are now sustainers, which is terrific. Although we're hearing that for some of the stations that have been doing this for a much longer time, that the sort of upper ceiling, if you will, is 2/3 of members being sustainers. So maybe we'll get there, maybe we won't, because, of course, your mileage may vary. We feel very optimistic about that. And you might ask, and so it's right on my mind, well, why are we doing that, right? Because I know that people have heard a lot of messages about sustainers, and that does concern some people. And it's actually pretty simple for me to think about, which is if you make an annual gift and then WPR mails you or emails you reminding you to make another annual gift, you might not really remember to get around to it for a while. And that means that instead of it being an annual gift, it might be a every 15-month gift or something like that. And by becoming a sustainer, you get less reminders, or fewer reminders, whichever it is. In any case, the station is able to receive your donation every month or whatever the cycle you set up is. And that actually makes it more predictable and just even in terms of when the dollars come in, a little better for WPR in the long run. And so we really value people making that decision to make an ongoing gift. And, of course, we value all the gifts, obviously, and a lot of people prefer to give when they're asked. That's fine, too. But for those that can give in a sustainer way, that's terrific.
There is another a special programming coming up this week on the Joy Cardine Show on Central Time. You'll hear a lot about it on WPR newscasts in the morning and the afternoon. You'll see some online components. We have the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College survey coming out. We'll be lots of interesting state public policy issues, including, we'll ask, a race for governor question. So, Mike, you want to talk a little bit about this?
Yeah, this is a really neat thing. We've been doing it for years, as you know. And the basic instinct is for WPR to find out what you're all thinking about. Not that today it's about what you think about WPR, but this is about finding out what residents of Wisconsin think about the issues. And then that can help us in a few ways. One, we'll report on that, which is what you're describing for the next few days. And the other is that we can act on it in terms of the coverage that we provide. So we use that St. Norbert's poll and your comments and shows like this and all to understand what's on the mind of people in Wisconsin and leaders in Wisconsin and all the rest. And so it's a big help for us as well in terms of setting agendas for the talk shows and the news coverage that we do.
Right. We will be asking what's the most important problem facing Wisconsin and many other issues, public opinion issues. We will be releasing the results with a different guest talking about the results in depth and the issues from Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, both on this show and on Central Time. So stay tuned for that, the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College poll. You know, Mike, I'm participating in something that is somewhat related to the ascertainment that we get from our survey, and I think these are happening all over the state. We are having community engagement sessions and in Appleton on Wednesday,
yep.
I believe I'll
That's
be attending
right.
that one. Why are we doing this?
So this is another of those measures that help us to find out what's going on. So in each of these community engagement meetings, we're inviting leaders from various organizations to come together and to talk with us about what they think are the big issues of their community. And it's a different sort of setting than a poll is, and it's actual conversation, a facilitated conversation that we're partnering with the University of Wisconsin Extension to do those facilitated conversations. And among the things we learn is that there are sometimes people working on the same issue who've never had a chance to collaborate before because they're so busy working on that issue. And so we hope that it fosters dialogue among the people who attend as well as dialogue with Wisconsin Public Radio.
Sounds good. We'll get to your phone calls, your questions, your feedback about Wisconsin Public Radio for Mike Crane, WPR's director, in just a moment. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the April edition of Mondays with Mike. I'm Joy Cardine with WPR Director Mike Crane. Looking forward to hearing your questions and your feedback about Wisconsin Public Radio. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And our first caller is Pete in Bellevue, Iowa. Hello, Pete. You're on the air.
Good morning to you, and it's great to hear your voice, both of you, and I enjoy Joy's program for sure.
Thank you, Pete.
In the afternoon programming, I kind of wish at times that Rod and Veronica's programming wasn't so long. I kind of wish All Things Considered was in place between 5 and 6 of items of need to know, even more so, whether it's the Supreme Court news and things like that. I just tend to switch out at that time because I really feel like I want to hear the national conversation of the news a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just something to think about. I would imagine the programming is a little bit more expensive than Rod and Veronica's, but I just think it's really good to kind of focus on that global national news at the end of the day.
All right.
Sure. Thanks for the thought. Pete, I'm wondering, when you tune away, do you turn the radio off? Do you find another station? What's your habit at that point?
Yeah, I usually switch out to another NPR station, probably in Iowa.
Uh-huh.
But I can't always get some other probably stations that may be running that on your other public radio stations. For example, a weekend edition is like a 60 minutes to me, and I tend to try to find that, but I can't quite find it maybe frequency correctly for in Wisconsin, so it requires me to kind of switch out at that time too, but maybe I just need to do a little more detective work to find that frequency in Wisconsin for that programming too.
Oh, thanks for the thoughts, Pete. And you know, this is a challenge that people in various parts of the state and our neighboring states find is, I like your word, Pete, a detective job. Signals are very uneven. If you look at the signal map for WPR online in our About section of WPR.org, you'll see that some of the signals are quite large, a very big circle, if you will, and others are very small. And the way that the network was built up over the years, we were not able to make sure that every community had exactly the same signal from every, from both of the different networks of WPR. One of the ways that we try to handle that for those people that buy HD radios is that we have the digital signals will have the other channel in many cases. So, for instance, on WHHI, which is probably the station that Pete would find most of his programs on, there is a feed of the News and Classical Network on WHHI HD. So if you have an HD radio, you can listen that way. Or a lot of people nowadays, they're listening to our streams online, and that's certainly an option as well. I know some of the time what we do is we just prop my iPhone up if there's something that we want to listen to and we don't have it on the radio that's in the area.
Thanks, Pete, for the call. Yeah. A listener asks, how come there's no station that plays NPR news all day? I love listening to WERN in the morning, but then at 9, classical music comes on, and I have to start streaming Illinois stations.
Yeah, that's probably history as much as anything else, that historically WPR and probably most public radio stations around the country, from what I've read, were mostly what they called at the time fine arts radio stations, so mostly classical music. And over the years, as first All Things Considered came along in the early 70s and Morning Edition in the late 70s, the shows became very big parts of the NPR service. And many stations like WPR retained the classical music throughout the midday. It would be great to have a third network, I tell you, because there's certainly enough great programs to be doing a third channel. We find the music to continue to be very successful for us, and so that's why we haven't switched, as some public radio stations have, to an all-news format.
Yeah, so NPR does offer Morning Edition longer than 9 o'clock in the morning, or has other NPR offerings after that?
That's right. In fact, within Wisconsin, that's a caller or a writer from Illinois, but within Wisconsin there is at least one station who does do an all-news NPR format, and that's quite literally across the street from our studios in Milwaukee, yeah. WUWM. And so the way it works is that if stations chose to, they could actually, in this time zone, carry Morning Edition through 11 in the morning. And that's because they call it rolling the program over. So it's a two-hour feed that keeps rolling over so that the West Coast stations can have it until 9 a.m. And then there's a very good program that people listen to if they're not listening to our station in Milwaukee in the middle of the day. It's called Here and Now out of Boston, and it is an NPR news program. And I kind of consider it just a wonderful set of riches when you can have more choices for what you listen to. And in fact, there's a lot of history that when there are more public radio stations in a community, the total of public radio listening rises. So we don't end up competing with each other so much as helping each other to have a stronger audience.
Let's talk a little bit about news awards. Apparently, our news department is collecting the hardware again.
It looks like, and not only our news department. You're not the one to say this probably, but your show is up for an award for best show in Wisconsin.
That's right.
And, I think it's the best show, and I hope that best morning show, that is. And I hope that is the number one. But we don't know yet whether there'll be, win, place, or show, so to speak. They don't tell us that until the awards banquet itself. But, we had all kinds of things, a special series that we've been doing on the heroin epidemic involved our show from the Eau Claire stations. The West Side Heroin Epidemic is a finalist in the Media Market Best Radio Show category. And Spectrum West had an interview that Al Ross did with Lisa Lampanelli as a finalist for Best Interview. Sean Johnson and Mike Simon are finalists for Best Writing. I can't list them all, and I'm sorry to my colleagues that I won't list them all right here, but just a wonderful affirmation, whether it is first, second, or third place, of the incredible work that people do here because of, I think, our pledge drives, our listener support.
That's right. Well, I'm going to ad lib this congratulations in my own award to Mike Simonson, our Superior-based reporter, who every year, just about every year, does a report on April 1st. And this past April 1st, Mike reported on all of the residents of the city of Superior leaving and moving the city of Superior into a warmer climate without snow. I thought that was hilarious.
Yep.
And anyway, then they got dumped on with 17 more inches of snow after that.
A little karma there, I guess, huh, Mike?
yeah, way to go. Way to go, Mike, for those very amusing April 1st stories. Judy in Ripon is with us. Hi, Judy.
Hi. Congratulations on your award, Joy, that you're probably going to receive, because I know you do have the best morning show.
Thank you.
And I love listening to your show. One of the issues, though, that I do have is the credibility of some of the guests. And there was a man on a couple of months ago that was actually saying things that were, health-wise, were kind of actually harmful. And it was hard for me to sit and listen when he was saying things like, you know, ketones are good for the brain, when, you know, being a nurse, we treat people with diabetic acidosis, and they could die from having the high amounts of ketones and things like that. So I think that before you have somebody on that's going to expound on these kinds of things, that you need to do some background checking to see that they're actually going to have accurate information. I really trust NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio for reliable. I mean, I would not even listen to anybody else. Everything else is gobbledygook. To me, Wisconsin Public Radio is the God's honest truth. And so, because your programming is so truthful and so clear and no spin, and you let everybody have their say, and everybody listens to the valid points. But if the points aren't valid, if there's harm, you know, in some of the points, then that's my concern. It's just that you'd, you know, there'd be some validity checking with some of the guests.
Yeah, so this was a health expert, and I don't remember the program exactly, but a health expert who you think was giving faulty health advice.
It was very faulty, and it was really, and I know other people that were listening at the time and said, oh my goodness, we wanted to call in and say, stop this man, he's harmful. But, you know, you don't know always 100%. I think his credential, I guess if you'd look at the credentialing before you, you know, his credentials were something like he was the, you know, president of the Coconut Oil Institute or something. He wasn't from the University of Wisconsin. You know what I mean? He wasn't from credible institutions. And I guess I would, and that's the only complaint I have. I just absolutely love your show, Joy, and keep doing your good work.
Thank you very much. Mike, are you going to yell at me too?
No. but actually, what I will say, Judy, is that you've demonstrated one of the things that is very important about the Ideas Network, and that is that our listeners do hold guests and hosts to account, and that's really terrific. We do certainly endeavor to vet all of our guests. That's an important process. And one of the things that I know without, I confess I did not hear that particular show, so I can't speak to it in a specific way. But one of the things I know is that there certainly are schools of thought when it comes to health issues that sometimes are the issue itself. That one thing I'm thinking of, for instance, that has been a sort of a back and forth over many years that's a health issue is the question of how ulcers are caused. And there were people that were thought to be crazy when they were saying that this was something that could be treated in this way. And then later they seem to be proven correct. And then still later it's like, well, but there's something else going on here and we've learned something new. I certainly encourage you and the folks that feel as if a guest is off their rocker, call in and let them know. And you've done that in this case, so thank you very much.
Yes, I do appreciate the feedback. I do remember the show and on coconut oil. Another example, Mike, of that is that previous studies said avoid too much saturated fat, but now new studies are coming out saying that saturated fat is not the villain that it once was made out to be, and coconut oil is a saturated fat. So there's new
studies coming out on coconut oil.
And so what I'd say is probably the most important thing for all of us as healthcare consumers is to be really aware of the controversies surrounding different, whether it's treatments or food for health or anything like that, and to discover for ourselves what really seems to work best for us.
Mm-hmm. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Mike Crane. Mike is Wisconsin Public Radio's director. He joins us just about every first Monday of the month to talk with you about Wisconsin Public Radio. We welcome your questions and your feedback. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We will welcome your questions and feedback on operations, on technical issues, online services, programming, fundraising, special events. You name it, we want to hear from you. All right, let's go back to the phones and go to Victor in Milwaukee. Hello, Victor.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Congratulations, Joy. I'm happy for you. I'd like to compliment Wisconsin Public Radio on its work in trying to maintain a balanced program, because I've been listening to the program for almost over 25 years, and I know you all bend over backwards to get a balanced program, because you have occasional guests or call-ins that say that the radio station's too liberal. You don't have enough conservatives on there. But I realize, and I've heard it on Joy's and several other programs, that sometimes that you do try to contact an alternative point of view, but they don't make it, they don't show up, or whatever the excuse is. So I understand that, and I want to compliment you for it. And I consider Wisconsin Public Radio Political Science 101 and great community news. And a compliment to Joy and her program. You know I love sports, and she occasionally accommodates me. So thank you, Joy.
Well, hey, so Victor, have you recovered from the Badgers NCAA loss on Saturday?
Oh, yes, I have. You know, I was in Syracuse on military duty out there, and I was watching some of the game out there. And to be honest with you, you know, Wisconsin was my heart, but Kentucky was on my mind. It didn't really surprise me. But it was exciting, and it was fun to watch. I'm going to continue to watch NCAA, and I'm rooting for Kentucky. So
I'm
going to follow it all the way through.
Victor, thank you so much.
Victor, and thanks for your service as well.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. Love to hear from Victor. He calls in from time to time. And, he's giving us kudos for being balanced and bringing on guests from different political perspectives. Mike, that's what we have to do.
Well, yes, and I think it's written deeply into our DNA that we wish to do that. Now, Victor's right. Sometimes we miss the mark, but we really do try. And one of the things we talk about is we think that that's actually rooted in something very deep within our host institution, which is the University of Wisconsin Extension. And that is some people have heard of it actually says this on Bascom Hall on the UW campus on a plaque. It talks about the sifting and winnowing by which we discover the truth. And that's about academic freedom. But we think that journalistic responsibility grows right out of that. And so what we're always trying to do is to bring forward ideas wherever they come from, in the belief that that's how we make a better life and a better state and a better world, is as we understand things better, we're able to think about them and make our decisions to help make our communities better.
Let's share this comment from a listener. What happened to transmission quality in Beloit? Reception has gotten markedly worse in recent weeks or months while driving in this area. Also, increased availability of the Ideas Network in this area. Support might increase for WPR if that were the case. What's happening with Wisconsin Public Radio's signal in Beloit?
Well, I can't be entirely sure without knowing which station they're speaking of, what it might be. Is that WHAAM that they're talking about? Because that would be the most likely. And let's assume that it is, because that's the station that serves this area.
Yeah, I guess they want increased availability of the Ideas Network, so they're getting spotty coverage of the Ideas Network.
And so there are a few different things going on with that. One is that just a basic issue is that as an AM daytime station, there are times when we have to turn WHA's power down very low. And so depending on when sun sets, which in the winter is quite early, the power may have to go very low until till late in the morning when the sun comes back up. And that has to do with the way that the waves of AM radio work, and they would interfere if they didn't lower power. So that could be a factor. Another factor for AM is that there's simply more things that make noise in the environment, whether it's computers or phones or different things, that if a particular radio isn't well shielded from that, or if people are at a great distance from the signal, they may have issues like that. We're always looking for opportunities to expand the signal. For instance, we're pretty much coming to the end of a project to increase the signal for our two sister Bay stations. We have a little bit more fundraising to do to help pay for that, but we're right there on that. And at the moment, I just don't know of any options for increasing signal in the Beloit area.
Let's go to Don in Holman next. Hello, Don.
Good morning.
Morning, Don.
Hey, I have looked for and asked for an organizational chart. Who trumps who? Is it WPR the most important? Is it NPR that's the most important? And the many other acronyms that are tossed around, who does what?
Sure. And I don't know that an org chart would help with that too much, Don, because it would probably have lots of dots and dashes connecting the various things. But I think I could sort of talk about it on the radio this way, is that public radio at its root is a community institution. So of the first order is, in your question, Wisconsin Public Radio, that we're here to serve the community. And we endeavor to make the best decisions we can about using this precious resource, the airwaves, to do so. And National Public Radio is a member organization, so that as the general manager for this station, I have a vote in the selection of the board for National Public Radio, as do all of the other general managers that are member station general managers. And so I couldn't say NPR does our bidding or vice versa. It's always more complicated than that. But the decisions are made locally using all of the available materials and program sources and all the rest. And so one of the things that means is that in every community, the NPR station will be a little bit different. That's partly the local announcers. In Wisconsin's case, of course, we actually have two networks, which is a really wonderful thing. That's not true in every community. And it means that we're able to offer more programs, and in the case of the Ideas Network, and really especially, more locally generated call-in shows than any other station in the country.
So does that answer your question, Don?
Kind of. But I think that you have such expertise on the website that someone could play with the notion of explaining who trumps who.
Well, Wisconsin Public Radio trumps everybody, and we choose if we want NPR programs on or PRI programs on, and it's up to the Wisconsin Public Radio listener is the boss, though, now.
Yeah. Although, maybe, Don, you're thinking of some other issues like, who decides what the news is on All Things Considered or something like that. In that case, the trumping is a little bit different, which is that at National Public Radio, they have a whole editorial function that decides for those portions of the programs that are showing up. They're deciding in Washington about those things. But as far as program schedules and all that, while we're influenced by what NPR would like, the decision is certainly made here.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Don.
Thanks very much. I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane. Mike is Wisconsin Public Radio's director, and he joins us once a month to talk with you about all things related to Wisconsin Public Radio or public radio in general. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's the first Monday of the month, which means it's time for Mondays with Mike. I'm Joy Cardine with WPR Director Mike Crane, who is talking with us about some news regarding Wisconsin Public Radio operations and programming, and welcoming your questions and concerns at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Joan in Milwaukee is with us now. Hello, Joan.
Hello. I congratulate you on having both interests against and for something, and I know that listeners in Wisconsin are very concerned about corporations buying the radio time, but you are not guilty as charged. My question is if a person is a regular contributor, a pretty large contributor to MPS and a fan for years, and they happen to be on an important state politically neutral news story, is that a reason to not have them be part of a news story on your station?
Are you saying if there's somebody who's an underwriter of Wisconsin Public Radio, should that person ever be used in news coverage?
Well, I don't know if we as contributors are considered underwriters, but would our contributing be considered a conflict of interest if we then were involved in a news story?
Thanks for the question, Joan.
Yeah.
And it actually, I can see why, Joy, you went for underwriter, because that would be probably the first thing that you'd think of is an influence of a business. But influence of individuals would be also worth asking. And so the way that it works from an editorial standpoint is that we think of there being what we call the editorial firewall. That is that management, such as myself, who are aware of many cases who donors are, and journalists really have a separate process, meaning that I really hope that every single one of our journalists and producers and hosts understands that they are to make independent decisions about who their guests are, who their sources are, and certainly to reveal any potential conflicts of interest, because that could be an issue like there was a case recently for Fresh Air, which is heard on our other network, where it just happened. It was totally coincidence, but they had to basically apologize to the station for this happening. They had a guest on who had written a book, and as it turned out, the publishing company had also done business support for public radio, and it sounded like the reason that person was a guest on Fresh Air was because they had received money from the publisher to put her there. It wasn't the case. Literally, the Fresh Air staff wasn't aware that coincidence would happen, and they promised in response to actually make sure that coincidence wouldn't happen, that they'd move that corporate support to another place, because it created a wrong impression about the process that was used. So in the example that you're giving, Joan, basically it's highly unlikely that any reporters working on it would be even aware of who our supporters are in terms of individual giving. And you know, I understand the question and I thank you for it, but we really do try to have that editorial firewall, because one shouldn't influence the other. The job of our journalists is to cover the news, period.
Yeah, interesting. And because of that firewall, I personally am not even aware if a source who's from Wisconsin or anywhere else is a guest on this show, if they are also a contributor, large or small, to Wisconsin Public Radio. I just don't know.
Yeah. And I think it's my job as the director to ensure that firewall works. And so we work hard to do that.
Yeah.
Thanks for the question.
But when it comes to an underwriter, though, you might be aware because you hear it
on
the air. But there is no rule that says if there is a – I think that we would talk to somebody who was an underwriter only if they were the best source for that particular story.
Yeah.
You don't not talk to an underwriter just because they're an underwriter, but you don't – right?
Yeah, that's right. And one of the challenges with something like this, think of all of the sentences I use to describe my answer to Joan's question. We haven't really come up with a really simple one or two sentence phrase that describes it. Internally, when we say the firewall, people get it. I'm not sure if that is the most helpful term in terms of describing it in public, but I hope I've done a good job of indicating how it works.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Joan, for the call. A listener asks, I can't believe how many ads WPR has on these days. This isn't how WPR should be acting. There should be no advertising like this, especially after we just donated money to support you in your pledge drive. So what's the deal with that, Mike?
Well, I understand that instinct, and the challenge is that over time, the ability of WPR to fulfill our mission and to pay the bills to do that and to try to continue improving our service, over time, listener money is simply not enough. I am incredibly thrilled at the enthusiastic support that even that person has provided. But in a typical budget, it's perhaps 40% of our budget. And so it's necessary for us to raise corporate support and to receive the support from the state and from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting for the federal support and put that all together to make possible WPR. And, you know, it's striking that even if you stood still, meaning you didn't do anything different in the next year, you know that your expenses are going to go up because there's maybe a cost of living increase for everybody or the bills go up. I know I haven't heard yet what's going on with National Public Radio, but I heard from my colleagues that the PBS dues are going up 2.5% this year, which isn't a huge increase, but it's enough to really impact how Wisconsin Public Television is going to divide its budget and support it with the various kinds of support. So for a very long time now, corporate support has been a part of the mix for our funding. And we think that by having it kind of spread out with all those different sources, we have a business model that other nonprofit news organizations are actually looking at and trying to emulate.
Let's go to Michael in Madison now. Hello, Michael.
Hi. I read a New York Times analysis by Elizabeth Rosenthal recently that said flying is America's greatest sin as far as the environment and greenhouse gases are concerned. The other point I wanted to make is that when people go on travel trips, they spend their money in other countries and not in Wisconsin. And so my question is, how much money does Wisconsin Public Radio get from these sponsorships of these trips? I know they're going several other foreign places this year.
First, I was wondering where Michael was going on that one, yeah. But now, so those the trips that Wisconsin Public Radio hosts participate in.
Sure, including me. I'm headed to New York in a few days, as a matter of fact. So first, what those trips are. Those trips are a combination of friendraiser and fundraiser. And stations throughout the country do this where maybe a host like you, Joy, or I know Larry Mueller just got back from a trip, accompany listeners, typically, sometimes it's their spouse or something like that who may or may not be a listener, on a trip that contributes a little bit per person to WPR up front. And then in some cases, when great relationships develop, you might see that it's a future major giver or planned giver. And so those are sort of the strategic reasons to give. And roughly speaking, we think that for a longer trip, such as Larry took to Hawaii, it'd probably be $10,000 or $12,000 that ends up contributed to WPR through that process directly, and then there may be additional that comes from someone developing a deeper relationship with us. And then a smaller trip, like the one that I'm headed on, it's more like $6,000. So the way I think of it is if we do six or seven trips in a year, that's probably able to support an ability to have an additional staff person that otherwise we couldn't support because of those funds. So that's basically how that works.
I'm looking forward to possibly hosting a trip to Alaska next summer.
Mm.
So if we're doing this. A listener says, I would be interested in hearing some regular travel programming on the Ideas Network. It would be great if one of the programs would schedule a regular travel segment. What do you think of that idea, Mike?
Well, certainly you have regular travel segments within Wisconsin, yeah. But I think they're thinking of something about where else to go. And of course, we can picture the difference of viewpoint from these two listeners, one thinking that it's important not to fly, and another really excited about flying somewhere or going mm-hmm. on a boat or whatever. I think it's a fun suggestion. I think a lot of our listeners are interested in travel, and certainly we should continue to feature guests that do that, because I think one of the reasons to travel is to understand the world better.
Yep. And a listener asks, please consider repeating America's Test Kitchen. An appropriate time for a repeat may be Sunday evening after Simply Folk, or perhaps a weekday to in place of To the Best of Our Knowledge. It is an exceptional program which deserves an additional airing. So what would we consider repeating America's Test Kitchen, Mike?
Oh, well, we might. We certainly would consider repeating a number of things. I would say there's a healthy debate among the programmers here inside of Wisconsin Public Radio about the value of repeating any programs. Some will say, you know, that means that we get more mileage out of that hour of the Joy Cardine show if we play it at night. Others would say, they can get it on the internet, so why not put something fresh on? And as is often the case, both have a good point. So we endeavor to try to figure that out and really appreciate suggestions. And it's great to know that someone's a big fan of America's Test Kitchen, which we added within the last year or so, and that they'd like to hear it again. Terrific. Thanks.
We also have had several requests for schedule changes. Mike in Madison wants our old schedule for Q and On Point. Joan in Madison wants a Prairie Home Companion back on Sunday mornings. Any likelihood of schedule changes in the near future, Mike?
Always, meaning that, if we look 10 years ago, the schedule certainly looked a lot different than it does now. And we look 20 or 30 years ago, my goodness, lots of changes. We tend to be, no surprise, this is public radio, very thoughtful about changing programs, because we know that when we do, someone's not going to be happy, as well as hoping that the decision leads to overall more happy listeners. So we love the feedback and try to do our best to figure that out.
We only have a couple of more minutes left and perhaps time for another caller. But is there anything else that's new that you would like to share with our listeners about Wisconsin Public Radio or issues that you're going to be involved in this month?
I'd kind of like to roll back to some more of those awards we think we're going to get, because the awards for WPR's staff are one of the ways that we can acknowledge the excellence that listeners are able to support us with by being members. And it's sort of peer recognition, which is a different kind of thing. So we also are going to receive a number of awards from the Milwaukee Press Club. And again, we'll hear about the details as far as exactly what, whether it's first place or second or whatever. But it's really thrilling to be able to honor the contributions of the folks that work here. Can you tell I'm proud of the,
This is
public radio is my life's work. And so to be able to be here and to know that Wisconsin Public Radio has the incredible support and the incredible talent, it's just a real honor for me. So if I brag on y'all, that's why.
Well, thank you, Mike. And it's an honor for me to be working at Wisconsin Public Radio and to be recognized from time to time in these awards. It's an honor to be nominated as one of the best morning talk shows in Wisconsin, and I look forward to the Wisconsin Public Broadcasters Association banquet in May. You'll be back the first Monday in May?
That is my current plan.
Okay,
yes.
We hope so. All right. We will hopefully talk to Mike Crane the first Monday in May for more of your questions and feedback. You don't have to wait until then, though. You can always call Audience Services 1-800 747-7444. You can also email us and talk at WPR.org or go to our website, WPR.org, and find all sorts of ways to be in touch. Thanks very much, Mike.
Thanks.
I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.